Greetings and welcome to Carmelite Conversations. This is Frances Harry, your host. We're starting to approach that wonderful season of marriage. So many couples get married in May and June. And we were delighted in our Carmelite meeting to have Deacon Rusty Baldwin talk to us about the covenant of love in a homily that he gave entitled Free, Full, Faithful, and Fruitful. And these are the elements that it takes to make a covenantal love. Deacon Baldwin takes these same four elements and applies them to the Carmelite journey of growth in union with God. Very enlightening and inspiring and helpful in understanding Carmelite spirituality. So I present to you Deacon Rusty Baldwin on Free, Full, Faithful, and Fruitful.
Part of my diaconal duties in the family of parishes I'm assigned to is to prepare couples for marriage. During the preparation, couples learn there are four things that must be true for a man and a woman to enter into the covenant, the sacrament of marriage. Namely, that in a spirit of love, they must give themselves to their future spouse freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully. In that same loving spirit, this gift is to be received. This gift of self includes all of who they are, all that is good, righteous, and noble, but also all their shortcomings, flaws, and imperfections. During the wedding itself, the couple publicly confer the sacrament of marriage on each other when they publicly and solemnly vow to give this gift of self to each other. However, this covenant is not fully consummated until they actually give the gift of self to each other completely, until they enter into the intimate marital embrace only spouses are to share. Now, after doing marriage preparation for a while, it became quite obvious to me how similar this preparation is to our formation as Carmelites, and how essential these same four elements are to our vocation. We too must enter into our Carmelite vocation with a loving gift of self, freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully. And we must be willing to receive God's divine gift of self in the same way. This should not come as a big surprise to us, however, for our Holy Mother, St. Teresa of Avila, teaches us the culmination and pinnacle of our vocation on earth is spiritual marriage. And the mutual gift of self is the essence of spiritual marriage, every bit as much as it is for holy matrimony. Indeed, I think we can very profitably understand our spiritual journey as Carmelites as a kind of marriage preparation, a kind of preparation for our spiritual marriage that culminates in a unique, intimate union with God that we share only with Him. A union we enter into when we finally give ourselves to Him freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully, and receive His gift of self in the same way. Given all this, I thought I would go over each one of these four elements and how they correspond to elements of our Carmelite spirituality, using our Lord as the finest example of how to give the gift of self. Our Lady, naturally enough, will serve as the finest example of how to receive such a gift. I should say at the outset, however, that what follows will not so much be an explanation as it will be thoughts for meditation and contemplation. For who can explain love? But let's begin by considering what it means to freely give the gift of self. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 18, our Lord said, "I lay down my life freely. No one takes it from me." Our Lord gave himself freely, his humanity and his divinity to us, though we were yet sinners. He gave himself to us because he saw our need. He laid down his life for our sake. He was not compelled. This free act is at the heart of what is sometimes enigmatically called disinterested love. But disinterested love is not, as the name might be taken to imply, a love that is not interested in the beloved. The exact opposite is the case. It is a love that is intensely interested, is entirely focused on the beloved to the exclusion of self. That's because the disinterest applies to the person loving, the lover, not the person loved, the beloved. What the lover is completely disinterested in is what the love they are freely giving costs them. And they will continue to love the beloved, whether the gift is accepted or not. They are utterly forgetful of self. Their love is entirely directed to and for the sake of the beloved. Our Lady shows us what it means to freely receive such a gift when she, in complete vulnerability and trust, responds in kind with the gift of herself. "May it be done unto me according to thy word." This is the distinguishing characteristic of receiving a gift of self. Those properly disposed to receive the gift, as Our Lady surely was, responds in kind. God took the initiative. Mary responded by freely giving herself to God. It is ironic, but nevertheless true. God gave us free will so that we might freely choose to bind ourselves to him forever in love. We are free that we may choose to be bound. That is why we must be detached. If we're attached to anything, we're not free to give ourselves to him, nor are we free to receive his gift of self to us. What we are attached to keeps us from receiving and simultaneously prevents us from giving. Our love is our gravity. If we love the things of earth, we cannot ascend to heaven. If we love God, no power on earth can keep us from him. Now, it goes without saying that we must not be attached to sin, but neither must we be attached to consolations, nor to any material or even spiritual good. You see, our love must be for the Lord alone, not for any gift he might give us, save the gift of himself. This process of becoming detached is what our Holy Father, St. John of the Cross, calls the dark night of the soul. This night is said to be active when we knowingly let go of all sensual and spiritual attachments. This is, in fact, a kind of giving, a kind of offering to God. The dark night is said to be passive when God removes from us all those sensual and spiritual attachments we still hold on to, albeit unknowingly. This is a kind of receiving, a receiving of his wisdom in knowing what is best for us, in knowing us better than we know ourselves. With regard to attachments, St. John of the Cross explains in the Ascent of Mount Carmel, we are not discussing the mere lack of things, for this lack will not free the soul if it craves for these objects. We are dealing with the removal of the soul's appetites and gratifications. This is what leaves it free and empty of all things, even though it possesses them. The soul being free and empty of all things is what enables us to give ourselves fully, which is the next element of marriage. Our Lord gave himself fully to us, his humanity and his divinity, when, as is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you." In this, he showed us giving fully means not only experiencing the joy, the healing, and life that flowed from his sacred body and blood while he was here on earth, but it also means experiencing suffering and death. Like when he suffered and died for us on Calvary, that we might live with him forever in heaven. How could our Lord have given more fully than this? What more could he have done? Mary shows us what it means to receive this gift fully when she stood by our Lord throughout his life. With Saint Joseph, she saved the child Jesus from Herod, raised him to love God above all, supported him in his 3-year ministry, but most especially accompanied him in his suffering on the way to Calvary, and stood by him at the foot of the cross as he died in agony. You see, fully receiving the gift of self from the beloved means accompanying them in good times and in bad, taking into our very selves the suffering as well as the joy love entails. Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity's prayer to the Holy Trinity shows us what fully receiving the gift of self from God is like. I encourage you to read the entire prayer. It's so beautiful, but some excerpts include, "O my God, Trinity whom I adore, help me to forget myself entirely, that I may be established in you as still and as peaceful as if my soul were already in eternity. Give peace to my soul. Make it your heaven, your beloved dwelling, and your resting place. May I never leave you there alone, but be wholly present, my faith wholly vigilant, wholly adoring, and wholly surrendered to your creative action. O my three, my all, my beatitude, infinite solitude, immensity in which I lose myself, I surrender myself to you as your prey. Bury yourself in me that I may bury myself in you until I depart to contemplate your light, in your light, the abyss of your greatness." The next element of marriage is faithfulness. Our Lord gave himself faithfully when he promised that he would never leave us. In Matthew 28:20, he said, "I will be with you always until the end of time." He knew that in our fallen state, we would project onto him our weaknesses and doubts. Because our faith was weak, we would question his faithfulness. Therefore, he gave us a promise to hold on to, a promise most gloriously manifested in the most holy Eucharist, which feeds and nourishes us faithfully. The Eucharist is God with us until the end of time. Our Lady's entire life was a gift in response to our Lord's faithfulness. She was the first to show us what this gift of faith looks like when at the wedding feast of Cana, she told the servants, and is therefore telling us, "Do whatever he tells you." What purity of heart Our Lady possessed. She desired but one thing, for that is what purity of heart is, namely, that His will be done. She desired this for all, that in all things everyone might faithfully do the will of her divine Son. Saint Teresa of Avila, our Holy Mother, anticipated how easily our commitment to our vocation and even our trust in God can be shaken. To help us persevere in faithfulness, she gave us a poem and a prayer that has become quite well known by Catholics and non-Catholics alike. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. This free, full, faithful, and mutual self-gift of lovers inherently culminates in a fruitfulness never before possible. The Holy Spirit is the fruit of the mutual self-gift between God the Father and God the Son, from all eternity proceeding from the love they eternally share. And the Father has promised the third divine person of the Holy Trinity to every believer to protect us and guide us to all truth. Thus, it is through the third divine person of the Holy Trinity that we receive the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, which enable us to be fruitful in living out our vocation as active contemplatives. This fruitfulness manifests itself in humility, in virtue, in living out the Beatitudes despite trials and suffering. We witness this fruitfulness when our Lord, while hanging on the cross, looked at His dear mother and John, the beloved disciple, and said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, "Behold your mother." In this, Mary became our mother and the mother of the church. We became brothers and sisters in Christ. This was the fruitful result of the mutual giving and receiving between the love of Mary and her divine Son. Our spiritual journey as Carmelites is preparation for spiritual marriage with God. But to enter into this intimate union, we must give ourselves freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully, and receive His gift of self in the same way. The glorious culmination of this mutual self-giving is the consummation of a unique, intimate, personal union with God. He is the object of our vocation, of our love. It is He whom we seek. It is He whom we long for. And only in Him will our hearts be satisfied.